Hello, and welcome back to SearchContentManagement.com. I'm Lauren Horwitz, Executive Editor in the Business Applications and Architecture Group. And today I'm covering trends in web content management and digital experience with Jeff Bock, who's an industry analyst and also a principal at Bock & Company. You know, consumers are kind of driving a lot of this whole web experience now. And to that end, being able to reach customers and having them being able to access companies through various channels, whether it's on the website, mobile devices, social, that multi-channel has just become the name of the game in customer experience and in some ways in web experience. So can you talk a little bit about what companies need to do to become multi-channel ready next year? And maybe you could talk a little bit about HTML5, which was ratified as a standard, and whether that's going to make a difference in terms of web content management.
Well, it's funny you say web content management. I predict next year we're not only going to be talking so much about web content management, we're going to talk about digital content management or digital information management, because we'll increasingly see the web as only, or web browsers, full-screen web browsers, as only one channel of multiple channels that we want to reach. And so I think you have to look at what are your customer experiences and what are the business situations. For each of the different channels, we made assumptions when we were delivering content just to web and desktop. We made assumptions about the size of the device, where people are going to be working, what the connectivity is going to be. And now a lot of all of those issues are up for grabs. So I think to really become multi-channel ready, you have to start with where you are. And I will assume that, for better or worse, most people have at least built their first or second website or web experience and are probably using one kind of content management system, web content management system or another. So I think to become multi-channel ready, first you have to inventory and assess. You have to take a look at what you are, what's the current state of your digital footprint, what are you trying to mobilize, and what are your users trying to expect out of your site. And one of the easy things to get started is just to take a look at your site layout and make sure that it works well when running inside a mobile web browser. Maybe where there's some simple tweaks you can do in terms of the size of the graphics, the size of the touch points to take action, and things like that, particularly for the web experience. So that's step number one. So a step number two is really to identify the compelling mobile experiences and the compelling use cases that you would want to have. In other words, okay, so imagine your customers have access to your site from their pockets or purses. What are the high-value things that you would want them to do, and which ones are really easy to deliver, and what are the things you can do, what I call the low-hanging fruit? Where can you find the low-hanging fruit, and then identify the things that make a difference? Now, I think what's also very important to realize is that when you mobilize an experience, when you suddenly make it accessible from a tablet or from a smartphone, it's not necessarily the same experience that you have on your desktop. You're in a different context. You're doing different kinds of work. You're going to make assumptions about time of day. Maybe you'll get information about location or get information from the devices themselves. So you want to think about how can the device experience improve the customer experience. And this will mean, again, we're talking about customer scenarios and customer use cases. There's not going to be one set, but maybe there are two or three or four sets. So it's a question at this point of really expanding the design parameters and expanding the number of use cases you really want to support. And this leads to another important development with web content management systems, and I've seen in the last 3 or 4 months on a number of the blogs that are supported, for example, some of the Drupal blogs and some of the Sitecore blogs, and also a theme I heard at the Gilbane conference, is people are talking about headless content management systems, or the back-end content management systems. So these are the, if you will, the server-side content that is being organized and managed, and then where the information is distributed and served up to multiple different experiences. So again, we're not looking at just one experience. We're looking at a number of different experiences. So, Lauren, you also mentioned about HTML5. Can you clarify exactly what you're driving at there?
I'm sort of relying on you for this. But whether that new language, I guess we could say, and the fact that it's been it's come to become, you know, the standard, whether that bodes and bears for certain kinds of web experiences in the future.
Yeah, I think HTML5 is a very, very important transition and a very, very important development. And will be even more important next year. HTML5 is a set of technology standards that does two things for the web browsing experience. Number one, it makes multimedia and rich media a first-class citizen of a web browser. In the past, people have had to fork off to Flash or to different kinds of video recorders in order to display video and audio, and you no longer have to do that in HTML5. That's the fact that there's a set of standards and technologies to embed the video players right into the web browsers. And secondly, the HTML5 gives programmers access to a lot of the sensors and data that is coming in from the individual devices. So it's going to be much easier for developers to access location or to access the camera if you want to include a picture that the device takes, or accesses the accelerometer or the other sensors that are on the devices. So what this means in terms of the customer is there's going to be a much richer kind of customer experience that's actually going to be baked into the viewing and interaction experience. And what this also means is that it's going to be much easier to organize and build and develop rich media web experiences. In years past, many people have had a YouTube channel, but that's only sort of a video snippet that kind of comes as an afterthought. And now you'll see that video can be actually integrated into the flow of the content. And the last thing I mentioned about HTML5 is that the knock against it has always been, well, HTML5 is slow. You take a performance hit. Quite often, you want to do native, or you want to do other kinds of things. There's a whole set of conversations at the developer level about speed and responsiveness. I think the thing to say there is that the browsers are getting better, and now that there is an HTML5 standard has been ratified, the development teams that actually build the browsers are going to be optimized speed and performance of the multi-channel experiences, and they know and that if there are hiccups and slowdowns right now, in a year or two we'll look back and say, why were we thinking about that? What happened? Part of the trajectory of the web is that it does seem to be self-healing. I remember conversations where people were talking about how slow the internet was, and it would never work because the bandwidth wasn't high enough. And now, it's just the bandwidth explosion is just the bandwidth needs are just exploding, and it's incumbent upon vendors and people in the ecosystem to make to come up with the right solutions. But those are engineering challenges, and I think we can fix them.
So, and I just want to go back to something we were talking about a minute ago in terms of digital experience and responsive design, making websites more mobile-friendly and sort of stripping them down. At Gilbane, I also was in a session on the Internet of Things and wearables, and there was a lot of talk about the fact that, you know, companies have just started to adjust to this whole notion of the mobile experience for consumers and users. And now they have to kind of leapfrog ahead and think about these even smaller form factors. Mm-hmm. So while the Internet of Things and wearables are probably further off in the distance, can you talk a little bit about what the implications are there for digital experience?
Yeah, that can go in many different directions. I love that question. Thank you. I think it comes back to this notion of headless content management systems and looking at content management systems as back-end solutions, back-end repositories that can actually fuel a whole lot of different interesting digital experiences on the web. Now, first, when it comes to responsive design per se as a design element and a design technique. Responsive design is really targeting the publishing experience. What responsive design is a way that allows people who are publishing their content to and designing their content to be published on a full screen web browser can responsively adapt the layouts of that content for different device sizes. So you can take a website that is designed for a newspaper website that's designed to be published on a full-screen web browser, and you can dynamically shrink the headlines and have algorithms for shrinking the body parts, the teasers that are associated with the content, so it'll look well and you can navigate through the same kind of content on a smartphone or on a tablet. But responsive design does nothing to actually, responsive web design does nothing to really change the nature of that experience or transform the nature of that experience. And I think where we want to get to with the Internet of Things concept is this notion of, I'll call it responsive application design. In other words, we no longer simply want to be publishing content to our websites, but rather we want to create full-fledged digital mobile experiences where we not only get information on our devices, but we can actually take information from our devices and put them back into the underlying content repository. So one of the things that has to happen, and one of the things that people who run websites have to start thinking about is how do you take data streams that are coming from your customers and capture that data and use it to further define the experience that you're going to provide to them. By the way, that sounds an awful lot like personalization. That's another aspect of personalization. So what's going on here is we have to get better at tracking different elements of the customer experience, both knowing what content they're viewing and how much time they might be spending on a page, and also where they are in terms of location. Are they in a store? Are they driving in their car? Have they just added a piece of content that they want to include into the repository? And so there are many different kinds of questions and issues that are going to come up there.
And it's really going to place a tall order on companies to be able to gather a lot of information in real time about where users are and how, in terms of location and device and how they're using that content. Is that right?
Oh, absolutely. Absolutely. But that's what the development of systems is all about. And I think as part of this these next generation experience systems are going to be very well designed and well architected, and people are going to have to put a lot of thought up front into what is the quality of the customer experience that they want to have and how they actually want to harness all of this incredible technology that's at their fingertips. It's no longer simply a publishing paradigm that we're just trying to push content out to support a marketing campaign. We're trying to create a marketing experience, if you will, that's in support of a particular marketing campaign. And so there are a lot of, there's just a lot of opportunities there.
So many thanks to Jeff Bock for joining us today and helping us think about some of these trends in web content management and digital experience. And for more on content management, you can always check out searchcontentmanagement.com. Till next time, I'm Lauren Horwitz. Thanks for joining us.